l'application des progrès réalisés pour l'inclusion.
À pesar de l'approbation d'une stratégie révisée.
Hear those voices? The international community, diplomacy, the business of world politics runs on translation or interpretation of world leaders and their representatives in their various languages. And this can be a dicey business, demanding the utmost of precision. History is riddled with examples of translations gone wrong.
The most famous one is what's called the Ems Telegram. It was a message sent by Bismarck referring to the fact that the Kaiser of Germany had nothing more to say to the French ambassador. And in the telegram, he referred to an adjutant of the Kaiser. This was mistranslated in the French newspaper as adjutant because the word in German referred to a pretty high-ranking courtier, and in French it means a low-ranking officer in the army. It completely misrepresented the level of formality and the level of politeness. It made the French government so very angry that it declared war on Germany. And that's how the Franco-Prussian War began in 1870.
That's David Bellows, a professor of French and Italian and comparative literature at Princeton. And he says it's up to translators all over the world to interpret President Donald Trump's language for foreign news consumers, which is not always an easy task. Bellows and Takeaway producer Alex Bodie spoke in English about some of the unique difficulties of translating the commander-in-chief.
What makes Trump especially difficult is the level, the register of his language, which is really not like that you usually find in international relations, diplomacy, and politics. English is a very tolerant language, and we tolerate all sorts of different varieties and registers. But in many languages around the world, I'm thinking particularly the ones I know, obviously, French and German, there's a level of discourse that is customary and normal for politicians and statesmen to speak, and Trump simply does not speak in that register. To speak in French in the register that Trump speaks in English is automatically to take your language out of the normal realm of politics and of statesman-like discourse, which itself is a pretty dangerous thing to do.
So when you say register, what does that refer to here?
Well, the level of language, level of politeness, level of formality. Trump typically uses short sentences, often fragmentary sentences, often exclamations. He doesn't use, subordinate clauses. And it's that roughness of Trump's language. When I say it's dangerous to translate another language, I mean, it's dangerous to the translator. It sounds like you're being disrespectful, that you're not representing him in a way that is consonant with his position.
We have this clip of Donald Trump on Jimmy Kimmel during the campaign, and I just want to have your sort of reaction to it.
We have people coming into our country that are looking to do tremendous harm. You look at look at Paris, look at what happened in Paris. I mean, these people, they did not come from Sweden, okay? Look at what happened in Paris. Look at what happened last week in California with 14 people dead. Other people going to die, they're so badly injured. I mean, we have a real problem. There's a tremendous hatred out there. And what I want to do is find out you can't solve a problem until you find out what's the root cause. And I want to find out what is the problem, what's going on. And it's temporary. I've had so many people call me and say thank you. Now, if you remember, when I did that a week ago, it was like bedlam. All of a sudden, and you watch last night and you see people talking, they're saying, well, Trump has a point. We have to get down to the problem.
Okay, three things. One, as you heard in that clip, the president interrupts himself. He starts a sentence and then breaks off and starts another sentence. That's absolute hell for translating into anything like smooth or persuasive language in any other language. Also, it happens very fast. It doesn't take any voice pauses between them. Second, the topic structure of the whole speech is really difficult to work out as you go along because it keeps changing. And there is no clear outline. You can't give a summary of it point by point as to what he's saying because it switches from this to that to this to that. That's pretty hard for a translator to cope with, especially for doing it simultaneous or near simultaneous. But the third thing there, and this is actually fairly typical of all political discourse, but it's acute here, when he says, they didn't come from Sweden, did they? What you're meant to understand is something quite different from what he's said. What that means, I suppose, to the people Trump thinks he's addressing is they were Muslims or they were Arabs. And you have to know enough about the mindset of Trump's audience to even guess what that means, because in some other language, saying they didn't come from Sweden might mean they're Finns, and he doesn't mean they're Finns. Yes. Those kinds of allusions or implications or innuendos, or the use of innuendo, is really difficult to translate, and I wouldn't blame anybody from another language, another culture, for getting that one wrong.
But David, President Trump can't be the only one who poses challenges for translators. What about other politicians?
That's right. Bad syntax, broken English, those aren't the only things that are really difficult to translate. People who use language supremely well are also difficult to translate as those who use it rather roughly. Churchill, at the time of the Battle of Britain, came out with this most wonderful, famous sentence that is so dense and so compact that it's really very hard to know how to say it in any other way.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
It's great in English. It's just, unfortunately, almost impossible to say that with elegance or, you know, that level of diction in a language like French, which it was very important to say it in at that time, since the French had just been defeated themselves. So, you know, that was a real tough one for whoever it was in the BBC, having to put that out in French straight away.
Okay, so then what do translators and interpreters do for the next 4 years if this is particularly difficult?
Well, there is no solution, so to speak, but I am sure that in the different capitals of the world, small teams of extremely clever and qualified people will, by dint of practice and doing more and more of this, get more and more the hang of how to cope with Trump, when to wait to see what the next sentence is going to be, when to abbreviate, when to avoid giving offense, and, you know, a certain expertise will grow up.
David Bellis, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for listening.
David Bellis is the director of the Program in Translation and Intercultural Communication at Princeton University. He spoke with Takeaway producer Alex Bodie for this conversation.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.